My name is Justine Sullivan. I've been practicing yoga since 1998. I'm a yoga teacher and I teach Rocket, Vinyasa and Yin Yoga. I'm really excited today as I'm on my way to catch up with two of my favourite yoga teachers, Amy Poulton and Jamie Clark. Both are former students of Rocket Yoga founder Larry Schultz. We're going to talk about Rocket Yoga, about Larry Schultz, the philosophy and the principles behind the practice, as well as what to expect on their forthcoming teacher training course in Goa, March 2023.
I'm Jamie Clark. I'm a yoga teacher of 20 years plus, and I currently am a co-founder of The Yoga People, a yoga school that's been running since 2009. We do live teacher trainings and also online courses and various yogic transformational experiences. And yeah, I'm a yoga teacher first and foremost, with being trained from in Ashtanga, in Mysore, into Rocket and Yin Yoga and meditation is more my recent years of practice. And I'm trained in psychology, masters in transpersonal psychology, and I've had decades of my own psychotherapy and supervision and so forth. And that's a lot of what comes into the yoga people experiences, the psychotherapy, the Western psychology, and also my co-founder Dulce is from Mexico, so it's heavily influenced with shamanism. We bring all of that together with Tantra and so forth. So that's really me and what my journey has been.
Thank you. Amy, can you just introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah, so I'm originally from Alabama. I came to San Francisco in 1999 on the Ides of March. I love that. I'd done a bit of yoga, but, you know, I found Rocket Yoga pretty much right after I got there. I'd already had a couple of knee surgeries. So that's, like many people, an injury brought me into the asana practice. And I found Larry on Google. Like It's Yoga was the first studio to come up, and I did his special 90 days for $90. That's how he hooked you in. He was so smart because he knew 3 months of this stuff, like you're completely hooked. I was a lawyer at the time, but that did not stick, obviously. And I was teaching full-time by 2003. And then I've been in London teaching Rocket since 2009 and have only fairly recently hooked up with the Yoga People to do some fun collaborations. But I've known them forever, known of them forever.
Thank you. So you're going to be doing a teacher training together in Goa in March 2023. This is the first big teacher training you've done together. You've done a few little collaborations before. So why have you come together? What's made you come together? Both of you can answer that.
For me, I've known about Amy for a long time, directly and indirectly through Larry. And Larry Schultz, founder of The Rocket. And I met Amy decades ago, just I think when Larry was on his way to passing away in 2011, he was in London and I saw Amy again, although I think I practiced in the room with her in San Francisco.
Many times.
For sure. And for me, I thought it's a great opportunity to bring original teachings of Larry, which if you look around the world, there aren't that many teachers that are really offering experiences that have had that experience with Larry directly. Amy being mentored with Larry myself also. So I think it's a really important opportunity to give really authentic Rocket experience with two teachers who have directly received his teachings, as well as some deeper inner work. So it was a natural fit, and we get along well, and we there's a nice balance in the way we teach with each other. So for me, it feels very natural and very comfortable.
I will take credit for having gotten the ball rolling on us working together recently. And it's partly, there are many reasons. One of them is being out in the countryside. So, you know, I now, my schedule is such that it's easier for me to do, special projects. And I've been hearing about, I've been coming across the teachers from the Yoga People's Training Program since I've been at Tri Yoga. And I sat in on so many teacher training auditions, and you could see a massive difference in the quality of students. You know, when I'd ask who trained you, and the good ones always said the Yoga People were there first for their 200 hours. So the proof is in the pudding. So I already kind of knew that. And of course, the fond memories of Jamie and Dulcie, y'all's practice. They were so, both of you are still beautiful, but whoa.
We'll talk more about the training towards the end. Amy, you've touched very briefly on how you met Larry. Jamie, I'm interested in how you met Larry, because you've talked briefly about going to Mysore. What were you doing in Mysore? Were you down the Ashtanga route with the Patabi Joy? What was happening?
I was. I actually went to the first experience in India. I went to a place called Trivandrum and practiced with a first generation teacher called Lino Mieli, who held retreats down in Kerala. And I did a couple of those retreats with him. And he invited me to go to Mysore to meet his teacher, Patabi. And so I went there and met him, and he personally introduced me to Patabi, and I practiced there. So a year or two went by, and I returned to San Francisco feeling I had enjoyed my time in Mysore, and I'd learned a lot, and the practice was very powerful. But I remember coming into meeting Larry. Again, I'd met him one time before I'd actually left to go to India, as I was leaving San Francisco, where I dropped into It's Yoga when the studio was upstairs on Folsom Street, and met him then. And then when I came back after Mysore, it was instant recognition, and I was working for him within minutes. He would put me behind the desk, and I wanted to say I felt very inspired by this. By then it was downstairs in this big space downstairs, and I was very inspired by the practices and the energy and the fluidity. And I was injured, actually. I'd had a lot of injuries. I got a lot of injuries from Mysore, knees and so forth. And so that all started to change. My practice started to change as soon as I got back to Larry. I did a teacher training straight away with him, started to teach, and my injuries and practice started to change. So that was really, in a short version, that's really what happened with me getting together with Larry. Instant recognition. I got along with him and met, there was real chemistry there. And, he kind of, as I said, he kind of looks into students like only kind of true yoga wizards can, in a very sort of shamanic way. And he sort of noticed that, there was me wanting to guidance, and he was a beautiful teacher. So I was very lucky.
Do you think that you'd kind of trod the same path as Larry, in the sense that he went to Mysore, he was studying with Patabi Joy, he wasn't quite getting anywhere in his practice, he was called the bad man of yoga, and he came up with the rocket system. Do you kind of think that's why you instantly got it, because you'd come from Ashtanga and you'd got injuries from Ashtanga? Do you think that's why you instantly understood the rocket? And what and the philosophy and the principles behind it?
Yeah, he forged the path ahead of me. It was easy for me to kind of follow his footsteps in the way that he had kind of broken the mold. And remember, there wasn't rocket before Larry. Larry was the pioneer of that practice to break away from a very traditional practice in Mysore, and he wasn't popular in doing it. So it was very natural for me. I did walk the same path. I did have that frame of reference of being injured, not being able to do the practice because of structural limitations. And Larry was so much more of a teacher than just creating sequences too, which I hope to talk about in a bit. But he gave me a ticket straight to, you know, the next level of freedom with the practice. So I had walked similar path. I had been to Mysore. I had been injured. But what to do with that? He made it easy for me because he'd already done it.
Amy, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, you know, having a previous Ashtanga, because I came in, I don't even know what kind of hatha it was. I only remember we did a triangle every now and then. But there was no vinyasa or anything. And I actually started off in the beginner classes. Larry would have a 7:30 beginner class at night. So I was hooked immediately just by that basic, like what we call kind of the rocket one sequence, like the easy one was like, I found it had an immediate, I still remember the end of that first class going, wow, I feel so great. So I do think that there is, like, he very intuitively interpreted the sequence in a way that suits modern needs more.
Yeah, I mean, I came to it from 24 years of Ashtanga and being very, very, very stuck in my practice. And I couldn't progress forward. And I used to come out of the class feeling quite inadequate and quite down. I mean, sometimes I came out feeling, you know, you get that nice high when you've that nice endorphin high. But sometimes I came out of an Ashtanga class just feeling really negative about me, about my physical limitations. The only one way to do things just doesn't work with my brain, because I've always got a plan B up my sleeve. If I can't do this, I'll find a way around it. And Ashtanga, for me, they wouldn't let you do that. It was, no, you have to do this, you have to do that. And took quite a lot to try and feel good about practicing Ashtanga. But then when I did the rocket, I instantly felt good. And being a feeling kind of person, I think that's why I totally get the rocket, because it only makes me feel good. Yeah, I mean, I did 5 days teacher training course and had a bag full of painkillers, and I didn't take one of them in my rocket teacher training. That's quite unusual for me.
I think rocket is more of an experience. I think Mysore practice is a practice, and rocket becomes an experience because the focus is different.
I actually felt like I was having an affair with rocket when I first started practicing it.
You were?
I even wrote a breakup letter to Ashtanga because I just felt really guilty about being involved in something that was more fun. It's making me feel younger. It was like having a new young man in my life.
I was going to say, we used to practice Ashtanga concurrently. So, you know, I would go to Mysore practice in the morning, and Larry in the teacher training as part of the 6 day a week practice, we would have primary series was at least two of those days a week. So Sunday was always a primary series, and Tuesday and Thursday you could go as well.
I think of Mysore as being like a parent. And as you say, Justine, rocket is, well, it's just, it can be whatever you want it to be. It's a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a teacher. It's so multidimensional. Great. Mysore, you can't question about grounding and about coming back into your feelings, but it can be very rigid in terms of its some aspects of it. I know that some people are very attached to it. And I think for me, I went through a good few seasons with it, but I outgrew it for my body, my experience. And that's when Larry, you know, my yoga daddy, Larry, came in. And that was, it's very important to look at the opportunities that are presented and to be able not to be too blinkered, which is all about Tantra, is seeing what's presenting itself to you.
Would you say that Larry is the father of Vinyasa yoga? Because a lot of Ashtangis say that Ashtanga is the original Vinyasa, because it's the first time we used Vinyasa in a sequence. But would you say that Larry was the original founder of Vinyasa yoga?
No, I wouldn't. I would say Krishnamacharya was the founder of Vinyasa, the original, with linking breath with mid-movement classically, and like everything that follows downriver, you know. Patavi came as a student of his, and Larry was involved in that. Larry wasn't the only student. There was, you know, other guys there, such as Tim Miller, Richard Friedman, a whole bunch of them. But Larry, in the way he created a sequence that was very intuitive, I don't know of any other teachers that did that. And so that's why I would say, you know, I think that's where I think they call it power yoga. Power yoga came along in the 90s, and Larry would have been one of the pioneers of that, if not the pioneer, to sequence it.
Yeah, the first Ashtanga class I ever took was called Power Yoga, and in brackets said Ashtanga Vinyasa. So it wasn't ever marketed as Ashtanga, it's called. And I knew about it through Madonna. But so why is it so important to both of you to share Larry's teachings? Because you could have just come away from San Francisco and gone, you know what, I'm going to teach yoga, and I'm going to teach trainings and just teach people Vinyasa yoga and call it power yoga. Why is it so important to continue spreading Larry's practice?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I never gave it too much thought. I never would have thought to change the name. When I first came to London, I think I've told you, they at Tri Yoga, I was not allowed to call it Rocket Yoga because it didn't have enough attraction. They were, it needed a few more teachers, which thanks to Jamie and Dulcie, we slowly got all the teachers that we needed. It would be some weird skeletons in the closet in a way not to acknowledge where it's come from, and it wouldn't make any sense, and it would also take away at least half of the experience, because as Jamie was saying, it is not just about, you know, the sequence, it's not just going through the motions, it's a lot of the ideas and the philosophy behind the practice as well that are important. So I think to get the most out of the practice, I think telling the whole story is an important part of it.
I would also like to add that Larry was a master at bringing together some very original techniques and nuances of the mastery of Krishnamacharya, which Patabi carried. So the way Larry taught and emphasized the practice in Rocket really is not his discovery. It's almost a return or an emphasis of some very key original techniques. I'll give you an example. Breathing before you move, which means that the movement is carried by the breath. And these techniques are very easily lost. That's a Krishnamacharya technique. And these, while Larry didn't describe it quite in the same way, it was very fluid, and you can only get that fluid when you're riding on the breath. Many other teachers taught even Vinyasa or power yoga quite mechanically or quite aesthetically. Larry did not. It was all about how it felt in the body. And this was an anchoring back into the original essence of very traditional techniques of the inner work. So I think that Larry was re-emphasized in a very slick and feel-good way some of these very traditional techniques, and the sequencing was very and in Rocket would have carried these techniques. So
I just want to completely agree, because I definitely, like, coming from my Episcopalian, Alabamian lawyer background, like, Larry was able to put into very understandable language some really big traditional concepts of the yoga system, like, as a whole. And he definitely had that gift of understanding what the actual content, like, the actual meaning of the ancient yogic texts, what that was, and how to put that in very simple and understandable terms for modern people who had a really long way to go. Like, I used to have a tail spin at, like, Shiva and Shakti, like, and bindus of light in my tailbone and my forehead would drive me crazy. Like, I would want to run screaming, but Larry had this way of making it understandable.
Okay, can you make that understandable for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what that means?
What, a bindu of light? No, it's just a guy that I ended up doing a 200-hour training with, Clayton Horton. He's amazing. He now does the Mysore in Hong Kong, pure yoga, I think. But I did a 200-hour with him, and he trained with Larry. But when he was very young, he did a meditation workshop, and I was probably a little too new at yoga to go to a meditation workshop, but it started off with imagining a red bindu of light at the tailbone, obviously for Muladhara chakra, and a white bindu of light. Anyway, but I just remember sitting there freaking out that my knees hurt, my back hurt. I don't know what a bindu is. Like, I felt so lost a little bit. Like, it was all way too far over my head, I guess. So Larry was really good at making it accessible.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Amy.
Jamie, I've heard you say that Larry broke the rules. How did he break the rules?
I've heard of him being described as breaking the rules. I think he just didn't want to be contained, rather than actually trying to break rules of that had been crystallized or made into a doctrine, which a lot of the classic Ashtanga practice had been. You know, I went there and with Lino, and it was very, very strict in terms of how things were done, but it didn't suit everybody. And I think Larry felt that I don't want to be put into something that doesn't really work for me, was not good for me. So I don't think he was described as being the bad man. And I think that was unfair. Although I think he quite liked the idea of it, being a rebel for his own reasons. But, you know, I think he just didn't really want to be imprisoned by a system that was inherently not good for him. I don't think he did it out of from an ego place or a need to forge necessarily something purely for his own identity. It just came from not really wanting to be boxed in. So that's how I receive Larry, because he was always very gracious, loving, and respectful about the traditional practices. He had it on the schedule. He had it on Thursdays and on Sundays in the Shala, the primary series.
I don't want to go on about Ashtanga too much, because I really want to focus on the rocket, and we're going to move on to the training in a minute. But so being an Ashtangi, I like traditional yoga, and the rocket has got a traditional element to it. But there is quite a mixed reaction from the Ashtanga community. I mean, I was an Ashtangi, so I'm allowed to say that when I teach vinyasa, it's heavily rooted in Ashtanga. Whenever I teach rocket, it's pretty much heavily rooted in Ashtanga. I would describe rocket as a therapeutic approach to Ashtanga. That's what it is for me. Why can't we call it that? Why are the Ashtangis getting quite upset about it? Why are they like, you can't say that? I mean, I read something on social media recently, and I shouldn't do. There just seemed to be a bit of a bite back. It shouldn't be confused with Ashtanga. But I think it was deeply influenced by Ashtanga. And I think that's why I choose my rocket teachers very carefully and my rocket training very carefully. I always make sure it's with people who've trained with Larry, who've worked with Larry, who knew Larry, who can bring Larry to the practice. And I'm not interested in going to a power yoga dynamic flow class. I'm interested in a rocket because of its roots. So what do you say to that? What are your thoughts on that? if any?
Because they're insecure. Isn't that true? Anything that you're secure about, you're not going to be defensive about. And you cling and attach to things to give you a structure that you can't really create within you for yourself. So in TYP, we encourage students to question things that have been working for them, but are they working for them now? So we encourage this re-questioning all the way along your path, your journey, your experience, and that way you don't get stuck. And I feel that's a very important part of the classic discipline of Viveka, of the discerning mind, to question constantly whether you want to be in this practice, this relationship, this role, anything that you feel that you might outgrow. And so this releases dogma. Even Bruce Lee was very famous for creating an art of no doctrine. So it is very much, and that keeps you anchored in the here and now. So I think it's, why would people be defensive? Because it takes away something that they can anchor to, and then it creates other things with hierarchy and dependency and God knows what. So that's just how I see it. But I would address that with them by saying, well, what do you really feel? Is this working for you? Is there a way you can actually refine this and change and grow from it? So, Amy, do you want to add to that? Because I know you're...
I was just going to say that, that was one of Larry's favorite sayings, was live in the question.
Yeah.
And it's out of all the things that you said, I mean, I loved you're stronger than you think you are, but that statement, live in the question, has given me more food for thought than, and Larry was great at leaving you hanging a little bit. You know, he left a lot of room for interpretation. He was a living, breathing Yoga Sutra book, but without the commentary text. And so it's nice that the courses that Jamie does give a little structure of how, like, what does that mean? Live in the question. What are you questioning? How do you go about it in an easier way where it's not overwhelming?
And it builds confidence too, to ask the question. It's like leaving mommy and daddy, isn't it, really?
Confronting your shadow.
Nice segue.
Individuation.
So let's lighten it up, guys. Let's talk about Goa. Let's talk about the big party happening in Goa next year.
It's a party.
It's a yoga holiday, isn't it?
No, it's not a yoga holiday. We do have a party. We do celebrate at the end. We do have karaoke. We have all kinds of great interactive experiences throughout. But yeah, Goa is a great place in North Goa, and it's we're well looked after. The beaches are amazing. It's the best spot. I've been going there for years.
So what are we doing? We've got 100 hours of rocket. So we've got 10 days of rocket practice. That's a lot of rocket. The course is rocket and pattern work. So somebody could look at that and think, right, pattern work, are you on about the shapes that we're making or the patterns in the sequencing? What can people expect on the rocket pattern course? There'll be lots of stories from both of you. And you both got slightly different stories as well. So when I've done a teacher training with both of you together, I've done two with Amy. I've done one with Amy and Amber, who's another Larry student. I've done one with Amy and Jamie, so two Larry students. And the great thing is you've both got very similar but also different memories, and it's lovely because you all bounce off each other really well. You bring Larry into the training. So what else can people expect from the training?
Pattern work, which is all about patterns, is a term regularly used in Western psychology. Psychotherapy is just your habits and where you've learned them, and are they serving you or are they not? So where do we get most of our habits from? Mum and dad. And doesn't have to be, but that's primarily the archetypes of the focus of the course. And learning not just behavior, but mood states and thinking structures and how to recognize them, notice whether you're rejecting them or you've just downloaded and copied them, and working with them, how to really work with those patterns to resolve them, and really create mechanisms and strategies and mindfulness and awareness to interrupt them once they get triggered and start to kick into gear and go into what we call cycles, whirlpools, which is very linked to what classic Patanjali talks about with the vrittis and the vasanas in the sutras. So we link all the pattern work in with the sutras. So it's not like, oh my gosh, we're going to go into this sort of therapy piece. It's always lit in this course. It's very clearly linked into what Patanjali is talking about. Patanjali talks from sutras, I think, 1.7 to 1.12. Five patterns. We link them there, and it's pattern works like a modern, contemporary way of relating to the wisdom of Patanjali.
I was laughing because half the time when I think of something that's really important to add, you already like, then you just say it. So I was going to say in the training, I think
you speak for.
I think that you and I do a really good job of help like forming connections of how we're always talking about the same thing, no matter what subject we're talking about. In a way, it really does overlap and link the classic yoga sutras, even, and yes, a bit in the asanas. I do like to talk about shapes. I'm really into studying geometry, and which is basically mathematical patterns, and there's a lot of overlap in understanding. And I think having the mix of modern and the mix of the mental with the physical does give you a deeper like awareness of the whole picture, which is really unique for this training, I think.
I think that's why it works so well with you two, because you're both bouncing off each other so well. Being a student of both of yours on your teacher trainings, you can really feel it. And you know, you bring Larry Schultz to the training, you bring your knowledge and your experience, and you bounce off each other really, really well.
I've worked with other teachers in the past, and at some point there's a rupture. So no, with Amy we've there's not a lot that we're philosophically we don't we're not a teacher. I think we're a couple of hippies, really, like Larry was. Yeah, have a few miles on the road with it. So it's a good blend.
It's a good mix. Mm. It's a very attractive mix.
Just quickly about the course, if you want to really improve your rocket in terms of teaching, if you want to learn really from the beginning, from really grassroots layers of rocket 1, 2, and 3, learn how Larry used to adjust, learn how Larry used to communicate, learn the key aspects of how he used to teach his practice. This is a course that we go deeply into this. So it's, if you're a teacher or a student that's just starting, we don't do a better rocket course than this one in Goa.
Jamie, you said that Larry was a pioneer accepting his own shadow. And also you've described him as having a Zen shamanistic approach. So do you want to quickly elaborate on that?
Again, Larry didn't want to be caged in. And so he was very much examining his own humanness. And that came with a supposed societal taboos. You know, Larry loves sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, you know, he was like, so what's your problem with that? This is what I like. And it doesn't have to mean me any less of a yogi because of it. And so again, he challenged that, which again is Tantra. Tantra says yes to the shadow fully without being trying to be exclusive or to reject aspects of our human consciousness such as sexuality and so forth. So I see Larry as a great tantra magician in modern day, in terms of him being shamanic, in terms of him disorientating his students, which Amy referred to get them to question who they were beyond their ideals of identity and so forth. So I think he was a someone who'd really gone into the bottom to the bottom of himself on many things, and emerged with like, this is who I am, and if you don't like it, then that's your problem, which is very, very tantra. And that's why he had such a appeal to so many people, in terms of his allowing them to fully express themselves in all, not what they should be, but who they really were, which is also Taoist, a very Taoist philosophy. So, yeah, I don't know. Amy, do you know of any teachers like Larry who hadn't really got hung up on who they should be as a teacher?
No. I was trying to give it a good run through. No, he was definitely the teacher with the least hang-ups, for sure.
So that's how pattern work relates to Rocket then.
Yeah, we're finding your hang-ups, smoothing that out.
And that in itself will then enable the physical.
Oh yeah.
It all goes together.
It's all connected.
Don't I know it?
All the same, actually. It's not just connected, it's the same. But anyway, you know, yeah, we really go into the shadow work, isn't it? Acceptance. It's in the child work. You know, we are our childlike selves when we're being fully honest.
Anything else you want to say? Anything else about Goa apart from?
Well, Amy's a Goa virgin.
So. Yeah, no, I was gonna. Yeah, I can't wait.
She's an India virgin.
She's an India virgin.
Yeah, been to the whole continent. I
asked Larry, I said, Larry, when you're going back to India, I mean, he's like, dude, I don't want to go there anymore.
That's probably why I never wanted to go, because I always had in my mind that I didn't want to go. But then when Jamie said it, it seemed like the right thing to do.
It's intense. I mean, I went there I went into Chennai first and went down. But when I got to Goa, I was like, this place I can do. Because it's really chill. It's almost Mediterranean India. It's not, most of India is not like this. I mean, northeast has its beautiful plains and so forth. But I mean, India is amazing. But to chill, India, you don't go to chill very much. And Goa, you can really chill.
Can't wait.
It's going to be amazing, guys. When does the early bird run out, Jamie?
It's either February 1st. Yeah, February 1st. Put that in your, make a note of that, is where we get the more attractive pricing.
So do you want to just say that as a sentence then, the early bird ends?
The early bird expires on February 1st, where you get the bonus of incentive pricing for going for all three courses. That's Rocket and Patterns, that's Yin and Tantra, and that's Mandala and Shamanism. And or you can go for independent modules from 7th of March to, I believe it's approximately the 10th of April.
All these details can be found on your website, The Yoga People, or your Instagram page as well, which is The Yoga People.
Yeah, The Yoga People, The Yoga People, oneword.com. And on our Instagram, please come and check us out. Ask us any questions. We've been doing this a long time. We've been to Goa for almost 20 years. I have over 20 years. So, it's a home away from home. Anybody who's feels intimidated about going to India, and you know, oh my God, I need to get.
Can hold your hand. Jamie can be in the middle. Hold both our hands.
Yeah. Oh my God, I need to get all my malaria shots. No, you don't need to get all your shots. It's so You get more chance of getting malaria here in London. I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course, but you know, it's so safe and so easy, and you're so well looked after.
Why not go? That's it. Thank you, guys. Amy, your website or your Instagram, if you want to leave it.
My Instagram is Amy from Alabama, A-M-M-E from F-R-O-M, Alabama. You can spell that. And I do have a website that I update every now and then. I don't think Goa's on it, though. And that is windandhair.com. Wind and Hair. It sounds like a hairdresser or a stripper, but that is the name that my parents gave to me.
I like that.
My sister's lies on narrow feet.
How sweet. Thank you very much. Great lots of love, you, as Thank always. You.
Nice to see you, Jamie.
Yeah, you too, Amy. Nice to see you. And nice to see you, Justine. Honored to work with you guys. And let's keep rolling. Let's keep going.